We're talking about Jesus strong, and I'm hoping and praying today that you'll understand what that looks like in your life. And maybe you're not feeling very strong today. Maybe you're not feeling spiritually strong. Maybe you don't know what that even looks like. But we're looking at eight rocks of truth found in Romans chapter 8. And the first rock of truth that'll give us strength is God's grace. And when you understand that you are secure in Jesus forever and ever, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ, that gives us strength, because it's not, my strength is not based on my performance. It is based upon His grace. Okay. And then the second rock of truth we learned last Sunday was the rock of truth called the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know what that looks like in your life, you will never know the strength of Jesus. Because the strength of Jesus is found not in you, but in the Spirit of God in you. Okay? And when you know what it looks like to walk in the Spirit and to trust in the Spirit, if you're walking in the flesh, you're going to find weakness, you're going to find discouragement, you're going to find doubt, and you're going to struggle in your walk with Jesus. But when you walk in the Spirit of God, there is huge strength, all right? Supernatural strength. And today, the third rock of truth is this amazing relationship with God where He wants us to call Him Abba. And Abba is the Aramaic for daddy, and He is wanting an intimate relationship with you. And when you can walk with God, not far off, way out there somewhere, I hope he stays happy with me, and I hope He's not mad at me today, you will never know strength if you have God way, way out there. But when you see that intimate relationship with God where you are His child, man, there is power. There is power in a child relationship of faith with God. And so we're going to look at that today in Romans chapter 8. Please turn to verses 12 through 17. And it's our privilege to stand and hear the reading of God's word. So please stand with me. Romans 8, beginning with verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Father in heaven, thank you. Abba, Father, thank you for your amazing love for us. We indeed are orphans without hope, without God, without a family in this world, in the eternal scope of things. You have reached out to us. You want a father-child relationship. You want us to run into your arms today. If there's someone in this place that has never understood a relationship with God, they have never understood they could be your child, that you would adopt them into your family forever and ever, I pray that today would be the day. I pray for the Christ followers in this room where we have listened to the lie of Satan that we are not cared for. We are not a part of your life, your family. Lord God, we come to you and we humble ourselves before you. Would you teach us and show us what it looks like to be your child? In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As you read God's word, you're going to find numerous teachings that seem to be in contradiction or in tension with each other. They seem like they don't fit together. One of them is the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign, He's in charge. And then you find the teaching of human responsibility, and you see both of these things are true. That God is sovereign, but I'm responsible. And you can find many examples in the Bible of these kind of parallel teachings. Today, we approach one of those parallel teachings, for in the Bible, we find the transcendence of God. that God is described as separate from his creation, that he is described in Isaiah 6 as high and lifted up, that he is wholly other. He is not one of us. He is not like us. He is separate from us. God is not creation. He is the creator, and he is beyond this universe. He is greater. He's immense. We can never understand the infinite God. He is beyond our comprehension. The Bible teaches that. But the Bible also teaches the immanence of God, where he has chosen to be with us. He has chosen to be near us. He has chosen to be intimate with us. And he offers this intimate relationship with us. And so both of these teachings are found in God's Word. And one of the best illustrations of the intimacy with God is this teaching that God wants to be Abba Father to us. He wants us to be in a relationship called family with him. Now, in the Greek, the word for father is pater, which is the idea of an intimate relationship with God. And when you see the life of Jesus unfolding, it's interesting that the very first recorded sentence of Jesus, age 12, is about his father. Did you not know I was about my father's business? So there is the temple time that he had. And then the very first word in the Lord's Prayer is what? Father. The very first word out of the mouth of the prodigal on his return that Michael talked about is Father. The first word from the cross. There are seven sayings on the cross. And the very first saying from Jesus on the cross, the very first word is Father. The very last word from the cross is, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So you see this relationship that Jesus had with his Father. And it's a thread all the way through his earthly life that we see these little glimpses, these little windows of a relationship that Jesus had with his Heavenly Father, with God the Father. And now we come to this word, Abba. It's an informal Aramaic term for father. It is not stiff. It is not official. It is familiar. It is close. It says intimacy. It says closeness. You might say in the English language, daddy or papa. It's a tender word. It's got a word of dependence, like God, I need you as a child would need a father, as a little toddler would be running into the arms of a daddy. That's the kind of relationship that God wants me to have with him. We see an example of this in Mark 14:36, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the toughest little moment of his life on this earth is where he is praying to his Father there in the garden before he goes to the cross. And what does he say? Abba, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. And so this Abba relationship is what God wants for you and for me. So Paul shares this rock of truth with us, and then he starts with a little bit of history, and he says, now I need you to know this, that in verse 15, you don't have this weak relationship with God, that God wants you to have a strong relationship with him. And so he says, now there is no strength in slavery. So God is not, though the word slave is used to describe the way a Christian would serve, the relationship is not described as a slave relationship. Did you know that? Whenever the word slave is used to describe a Christian, it's talking about our serving or our willingness to serve, and there's truth there. But when it describes our relationship with God, it doesn't describe a slave. It describes a child in relationship to God. So verse 15, he says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery. So if you have an idea of a relationship with God today where God is going to force you to obey him, he is going to force you to follow him, that is not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is not just God grabbing people and saying, come here, you're going to do it my way or else. That's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is a relationship, and it's an invitation where we leave a non-relationship with God and we are invited into a relationship with God. Acts 26:18 says that Paul's ministry was to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, that's bondage, that's slavery, to God. So we are leaving a life of slavery to sin and to Satan and to death, and we are entering into a relationship with God that is a family relationship with God. I don't know if you watched the news this last week, but there was an amazing moment where three men, through the effort of our president, unheralded by the media, was able to release three men from North Korean prisons. That never happens. And all three men were Christ followers, and they were there serving Jesus in various ways and were accused of treason, and they've been in prison for quite a while. And I don't know if you saw in the news, because the news did not cover this, but the message, the first thing out of their mouth when they were released from North Korea, the message they tweeted back to the President of the United States were these words, Psalms 126, 3. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. And when you have been released from a prison, when you've been released from slavery, from bondage, there is great joy and there is great rejoicing. And Paul is trying to tell us the relationship that is available to God is not one of slavery. There is no strength in slavery. There is no strength living in fear. If your idea of God is to not be connected to him in love, you don't understand the power that he wants you to have. So he says in verse 15, I don't want you to fall back into fear. I don't want you to think of God where you have to hide from him or run from him. The war cry of our enemy, Satan, is fear. And if he can get us to be afraid, and if he can get us to live in fear, he knows there will not be any strength there. Okay? The fuel of the enemy is fear. So the more you give into fear, you are giving into the weakness of the enemy, and you're losing the strength of Jesus. Let me give you a quick review. There are three reasons why we are drawn toward fear. Okay? Number one is our conditioning. Your family maybe was not safe. Your life history had lots of pain and hurt. Your life experiences did not go well. And so now when you think of the next step in your life, your conditioning tells you to be afraid. The second reason why we're afraid is our concealing. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did they do? They ran and they hid. So the more that we hide, the more that we run, the more that we don't deal with the true things of our life, hiding creates fear. We are afraid to come out. So we tend to protect ourselves by hiding. That's a way to live called fear. And the third way of fear is controlling. So we don't want to be out of control. We're afraid to be out of control, so we take control, but we're doing it out of fear because we don't want somebody to hurt us again. We don't want life to hurt us. We need to be in control. The perfectionist in the room, many times you're driven by fear, and so fear can dominate our lives. Because of conditioning, because of concealing, because of controlling. And I want to tell you, there is no Jesus strong with fear. Okay. So, listen to this promise from 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, Jesus strong, love, and self-control. Jesus says in Matthew 8:26, and Jesus says these words to us today. Why are you afraid? Psalm 42:11. Why are you afraid, O my soul? I have to tell you, if you are not experiencing Jesus strong, it might be starting with this problem called fear. We hide, because we're afraid of fear. We run because of fear. We fight because of fear. We doubt because of fear. And if you are letting fear control your life, you will never know Jesus strong. So now let's turn the corner here. How does Abba, how does this truth, how does this rock of truth help us be Jesus strong? So I'm going to give you three reasons why this will give you the strength you need, this Abba principle, this Abba truth. Number one is the principle, the truth of adoption. You have been adopted into the royal family of Jesus. You've been adopted. Okay, now if all the females in the room need to understand this, when he says adopted as sons, he is not excluding females. This is not a gender word, so don't get caught up with gender at this moment. The word son here is a word of inheritance. It's a word of privilege in the family. So he's not saying women are excluded. He's just saying you men and women both can get adopted and have the inheritance and have the right of the family. Okay, that's what it's referring to. So it says here in verse 14, Romans 8, all, I love that word all, amen, who are led by the Spirit of God are, A-R-E, are sons of God. Not I hope I am, not I wish I am, not I might, not I could be, but you are a son of God. This is a reality. This is a fact for every Christ follower. You are sons of God. You have privilege in the family of God. You are part of the royal family. So let's clarify how the Spirit of God is working in a Christ follower. When you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit is always present in your life. Okay. So what this verse is talking about is he's not saying, man, I've got to keep up with the Spirit of God, and if I don't keep up, then Jesus is going to kick me out of the family. That is not what it's teaching. What it's teaching is that the Holy Spirit is always present in a genuine Christ follower. Now, some people claim to be Christians, and they really don't know the relationship we're talking about. Because the way they've defined Christianity is by going to church or doing religion, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is always present, and he is always leading a true, genuine Christ follower. Do you know that? If the Holy Spirit is in you, he is never dormant. He is never hanging back on vacation in a hammock somewhere. The Holy Spirit is not sleeping. The Holy Spirit is not non-active. When the Holy Spirit is living in you, he is always leading. That's what it says in verse 14. If you are a child of God, a son of God, you always have the Holy Spirit leading you. He will always lead you. Okay? He led you to follow Christ. By the way, not one person in this room became a Christ follower without the Holy Spirit leading us to Jesus. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is the one who leads us to Jesus. Now watch this. The Holy Spirit's always leading, but watch this. But we are not always following. Okay, now this verse does not say that every Christ follower is always following. The verse says every Christ follower is always being led, okay? So we have a decision to make every day. The Holy Spirit's working on me. The Holy Spirit's convicting me. The Holy Spirit's guiding me. The Holy Spirit's teaching me. And then I decide, will I listen? So now how does the Spirit lead us? He leads us through the Word of God. Your time in God's Word is the Holy Spirit leading you and teaching you and guiding you. Through your time of prayer, when you're praying with humility and praying with repentance, the Holy Spirit has an open door to walk into your life, to work into your life, to teach you, to guide you, to lead you. He leads you through wise counsel. When you listen to men and women of God, great books, great people on podcasts, on radio, here at church and your life group, your brothers and sisters, and they speak into your life, the Holy Spirit's leading you. The Holy Spirit leads through inner conviction where there is something going on in your heart. You know, man, I need to do this. I need to go there. I need to be with that person. I need to reach out to that situation. I need to give. I need to help. I need to love. And the Holy Spirit's brought that conviction into your heart. And then last, through circumstances where he just opens up a door and all of a sudden there's a blessing that is coming, or there is a work of God that is right there in front of you. So now what does this have to do with adoption? See, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. If you are receiving Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and now he's going to lead you. And this is the kind of leadership he's going to give you. Verse 15, you have received this Holy Spirit, and look at the description, of adoption. So one of the greatest things the Holy Spirit does in your life is to lead you to this truth that you have been adopted into the family of God. So we enter his family. Do you know that if you are a Christ follower, you have entered the family of God two ways? Isn't this great? Most of us are in a family one way, but we are in God's family two ways. Do you know this? First of all, according to John 3:3, every Christ follower enters the family of God through birth. So you have a physical birth, and then you receive Jesus, and now you have a spiritual birth, and you're born again, and you have the new nature of God in you because you have been born of the Spirit. And so you enter the family through birth. But the second way you enter the family of God is through adoption. And so he reaches out to you. You're an orphan. You have no family. You're not in his family. And he reaches out to you and he says, I'm going to adopt you into my family. So guess what? You are in the royal family two ways, by birth, by adoption. He loves you so much. He wants you to never doubt, never wonder, never hesitate that you are a child of God. Listen to the promise, John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, that's referring to Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that is not just, I'll be good enough, no, by faith in Christ, you have been declared by the throne room of heaven, you are a child of God. And that cannot be taken away from you, ever. Amen. Now this action of adoption is bathed in the love of God. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us? That we should be called children of God, and so we are. In other words, man, this is a love thing. This is not just a transaction in some courtroom. This is a work of the love of God. And this is why 1 John 4:18 is so powerful. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So when you understand the powerful love of God that is adopting you into the family, there is no room for fear. There is no way you could hide from an Abba Father. There's no way you should hesitate in running into his arms because of his great love for you. Now remember when I told the kids there are three stories of adoption, and all of them are royal families. Did you catch that? Moses became part of the royal family, and Esther became part of a royal family, and Mephibosheth became part of a royal family. And I'll tell you, he is giving us this amazing message. Verse 16 of Romans 8, this verse I go to over and over again when I'm doubting, when I'm discouraged. This is the verse I'll come to over and over again. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, why does the Holy Spirit have to keep doing that? Because Satan never lets up. He is an accuser of the brethren day and night. You are worthless. You are not valuable. God doesn't care about you. You are a sinner. God is going to kick you out of the family. There's the door. Here's the backside. We're going to kick you out. Satan is kicking us out. Satan is kicking us out. Satan is kicking us out. And we just get used to it. We accept it as truth. We accept it as normal. And God says, wait a second. The Spirit of God says, wait a second. And he ministers to my spirit and to your spirit. The lies of Satan should not be believed. You are a child of God. Now, a funny story. You guys maybe have been following the royal family this last week, and they had some minor thing happen yesterday. And another story surfaced back in 1991. Queen Elizabeth showed up for some big event. I don't know what it was. I think it was a horse show, I guess it was. And they were telling the story that Queen Elizabeth somehow got separated from her entourage of people that are around her all the time. And so she was wandering around looking at the horses, and she wanted to enter into the horse show. And the guard said, well, where are your credentials? And later he said that he thought it was just some nice dear old lady wandering in, you know. And did you know that the queen, Queen Elizabeth, has no documents? She doesn't carry a driver's license. She doesn't carry any identification. She doesn't carry anything. She doesn't even have any money. She's just walking around, you know, because she never needs it, right? So she's walking up, and this guard will not let her in. I'm sorry, dear old lady, but you need the paper. You need the pass. You need the ticket. You know, where's your ticket? Can you imagine that moment later when someone told him, do you know you're talking to the queen? Okay. Oh, man, my life is over, you know. Okay. When Satan tells you, where are your documents? You claim to be a child of, oh, yeah, right. You? And you go, wait a second. The Spirit of God is within me, and he is saying, I'm a child of God. The second thing I want you to know today is that this word, Abba, is powerful. And it's so powerful that it's like a password to heaven. It's the cry of my life. And if you have not cried out to God in that Abba relationship, you have missed a power moment with God. Because it says in verse 15, by whom we cry. Did you know that that word cry is not casual? It's a loud, earnest, public, intense, passionate word. It is not like a casual thing. No, I want everybody to know it. I'm going to do it from the depth of my soul. Psalm 3:4 says, I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Now remember that transcendent truth of God, that God is high and lifted up. And David says God is high and lifted up. He's on a holy hill. But when I cry out to him, that he hears. He is imminent. He comes and he's close to us. Galatians 4:6 says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Holy Spirit's crying, Abba, Father, I'm not able to do it. I don't feel worthy. I don't know if I can say it. I don't know if God would hear me. But the Spirit of God says, you can do it. This is the relationship he wants with you. And the Holy Spirit is reassuring me, Abba, Father, is the words you need to say. Don't take it casual. You know, every once in a while, I'm going to go to Walmart, and there's certain times during this 7-day week that you don't want to go to Walmart. I'm just going to give you a clue, heads up. I'll just let you know about this. There's some Walmart knowledge you need to know, and that is late in the evening on a weekend, Saturday night, sunny night, is not a time to go to Walmart. I don't know what happens. People get paid, and they bring their whole families to Walmart late at night, and there are tired kids, and there's tired parents. And they're shopping at Walmart. And if you want a new experience of your life, of practicing patience, you need to go to Walmart in the evening on the weekend, okay? And what you're going to hear continuously, at least my experience, is crying. Crying children, crying babies. And they're crying, and they're crying, and they're crying. They're actually screaming. And I want to get out of Walmart as fast as possible, okay? Because I don't like hearing crying kids, okay? Just my issue, I guess. Anita's family grew up, and there were six kids in the family. They were a missionary family, and they would travel around in an old VW bus. It was not psychedelic. It was in the 60s, but it was a VW bus with six kids. No seatbelts. You know the stories. And they loved to irritate their dad. But one of the six kids would start saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And then the other one would chime in with a little different frequency, Daddy, Daddy, and then another one go, Daddy, Daddy, and then all six of them were doing the Daddy, Daddy chant at the same time, and they would start low, and they would get louder and louder and louder in this VW van, and you can imagine being the father behind the wheel at that moment, and he's ready to tear some kids apart right there at that moment, and then all the kids just start laughing because they just, you know, worked on their dad, and kids just love doing that, don't they? Okay, so I share that story right now. Please listen closely. That when I cry out to God, Daddy, 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 it is never a turnoff to God. It is never, I'm not listening, I don't care to listen, would you guys be quiet? He's never saying, you guys are bugging me, I'm getting out of here. He's never saying, like I feel at Walmart, man, could somebody shut that kid up? God is never, listen, God is never saying that about his kids. When you're crying out to God, he loves every cry. He values every cry. And when you understand the power of that moment, when God is listening to your cry, there is power there. Third thing, real quickly here. Number three is the word access. When you understand the Abba Father relationship, you have access to his resources. It says in verse 17, if children, then heirs of God. This is by God's grace, Colossians 1:12, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That when you become a child of God, you are now inherited the wealth of heaven itself. Titus 3:7, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we're not a child in the background, in the basement, down the hall and around the corner, and we might get a room with God. We are inheriting the wealth of heaven. We are fellow heirs with Christ. Now, Jesus is the heir of all things. Let's get this clear. Hebrews 1:2. He is the heir of all things. Don't forget that. Ephesians 1:11 though says, in him, that's relationship with Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance. So sinners can obtain an inheritance in heaven because of Jesus. Don't forget that. Now, Jewish law says that the oldest son would get the inheritance. And then he was supposed to share it. Okay. The Roman law was that it was always equally divided. So in a combination kind of teaching, Jesus gets the inheritance, and then he shares it with those that are his followers. I'm running out of time here, but let me just, if you can't write this down, you can get it later on the website. But when you talk about the resources of heaven, this is very important. I'm not going to be able to read all the scriptures, but just listen to this quickly. You have access to his power, 2 Peter 1:3. You have access to his blessings, Ephesians 1:3. You have access to his throne, Hebrews 4:16. You have access to him personally, Psalm 73:25. And you have access to his resources, Philippians 4:19. So in all of this, we have access to the resources of heaven. You tell me you are struggling in weakness, and I'm telling you, you can be Jesus strong because you have access to the throne of God because you're a child of God. Now, yesterday there was, like I said, something minor happening in the royal family. This wedding, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, is there a picture? Yeah, they're a pretty cool looking couple, I guess. And did you know that access to that wedding was limited? I mean, there were some people that had access on the street. They could line the streets. There were some people that had access near where the wedding would be. There were some people that had access actually to the wedding, but they were not having access to the reception. There were certain invitations to certain parts of the reception. There were certain places of the reception that you might have access to, but there was all kinds of limitations. Did you know that not everybody was invited? I did not get invited. Did you get invited? Man, and then if I was invited, there was a limitation of where I would sit. Do you know there was only one family member of Meghan Markle that actually was invited to the wedding? Did you know that? Boy, that's awkward. Anyway, Matthew 25:34. Listen to these words. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Did you know that verse is for you? You are invited to have an Abba relationship with God. And in that Abba relationship with God, there is power and there is strength. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Abba, Thank you for loving us. Thank you for reaching out to us before the foundation of the world. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to open the door of the kingdom to us. Open the door to the family for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and leading us to the Son of God. Lord God, in this room, there might be one person that has never understood Christianity. They have never understood this relationship. That by your grace, we can enter into this family and be adopted forever and ever. Children of God. But as many as receive him, Lord God, I pray that right now, in prayer, they would receive Jesus into their life and realize the truth and the promise of being a family, being in the family of God. Lord God, I pray for the Christ followers in this room that have been given over to fear. I pray that they would come to a new place of faith and trust in you. Abba, relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.